Friday, May 27th, having a conversation concerning today's headlines and real-life challenges. I'm Tom Lamprecht, along with Pastor Harry Reeder. Stay with us as we apply a biblical worldview with gospel solutions to put the issues of today in perspective. Harry, there are two ecclesiastical stories that have come out over the last 7 days that I want to deal with today. The first out of San Francisco, where San Francisco Archbishop Salvador Corleone announced last Friday that House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is barred from receiving Holy Communion due to her pro-abortion stance. Interestingly, there's been some pushback from the left, including an editorial by the San Francisco Examiner.
First of all, it shouldn't be shocking that a cleric, one of hierarchical authority to the level of an archbishop, has decided that if he is going to lead the Roman Catholic Church, then he's going to be consistent with Roman Catholic doctrine. Archbishop Salvador Corleone was put in place specifically to deal with this in a very specific diocese, and that is the surrounding diocese of San Francisco, by Pope Benedict. He has been very consistent to uphold Catholic doctrine. What gives rise to this particular situation? Well, according to Archbishop Corleone, one of the most powerful women in the history of American politics, Nancy Pelosi, elected from the San Francisco area, she, in light of the anticipation of the Supreme Court ruling, along with her Democratic counterpart in the Senate, Chuck Schumer, promoted a bill that would legislate Roe v. Wade. The bill actually doesn't simply legislate the Roe v. Wade opinion. What it actually does is go way beyond it. It not only endorses abortion, it then enforces it to the point that medical personnel will have to participate in it and taxpayers' money will support it. And she was able to get it through the House with a party line vote with the slim majority. As that is happening, she constantly portrays and proclaims herself, and I quote, a devout practicing Roman Catholic. Archbishop Corleone is going to make sure that people understand that the canon law of the Roman Catholic Church does not allow even a legislatively protected homicidal assault upon the unborn. That is, it does not allow elective abortions. So he has instructed her that if she comes to worship, which would include the partaking of Holy Communion, that she would be barred. That is one step below the process of excommunication. Now, you've got the San Francisco paper that is coming out calling for the present pope to remove this archbishop. What is he guilty of? He's guilty of being a Roman Catholic archbishop. So they said that's not allowable in our culture. Tom, here's the underlying story on this. The church must accommodate the culture, particularly accommodate the sacrament of progressive secularism, which is abortion. Speaker Pelosi is hiding behind two canards, one developed out of the presidency of Jimmy Carter and was honed rhetorically by President Clinton, both being Southern Baptists, that they were personally opposed to abortion, but as elected officials would protect the legality of it. The second canard is by Cuomo, that as a Roman Catholic, he is opposed to abortion, but as an elected official, he will support the woman's right to an abortion as a health care provision. But the church is saying, if you're going to proclaim yourself as a practicing devout Catholic, then you must be a practicing devout Catholic. Otherwise, you cannot participate in Holy Communion.
Harry, this is not the first time that this archbishop has dealt with moral issues. Back in 2015, he attempted to force teachers and staff at a San Francisco Catholic high school to condemn gay rights, abortion, and birth control. This led a group of 100 predominant local Catholics to run a full-page ad. In this ad, which appealed to the Pope, saying, Holy Father, please provide us with a leader true to our values and your namesake.
What they're saying is, please send us an archbishop who will accommodate the culture, not an archbishop that's attempting to stand firm on what the Roman Catholic Church says it believes in canon law. There's a lesson here for evangelical churches, and that's this. It's not enough simply to endorse truth. You have to enforce it as well. And we have another story that indicates the same thing.
Harry, the Washington Times and numerous other media outlets are now reporting on the leaders of the Southern Baptist Convention, the largest Protestant denomination, were accused last Sunday of a decades-long cover-up of sexual abuse within the group.
Tom, this report is absolutely devastating, disheartening, discouraging. I mourn for what it reveals concerning victims and concerning perpetrators and concerning cover-ups and ignoring of the issues. Every thoughtful Southern Baptist leader I know agrees with that I've talked with. Where do they go from here? There are going to be people who deal with this and use it to advance themselves as activists. And then there are going to be others who deal with this and say, we have sinned and we need to deal with it properly, biblically. Number one is to establish resources to care for those who are victims of sexual abuse. Secondly, enact church discipline upon those leaders. And thirdly, set about a proactive policies of how do you properly vet those who are in your employ, pastors, leaders, administrators, counselors, educators. You've got to find a way to vet their past. You've got to have training in order to prevent and prohibit such heinous sins, if at all possible. And you've got to have policies in place as how do you process when someone comes to you and lets you know that this has happened, that gets to the truth of whether the act happened or not, and how did it happen, and who was the perpetrator. And then you've got to have a process to care and shepherd for, including perhaps resources for counseling, and mentoring and caring for those who are the victims of such acts. We've got to get back to preaching the Word of God so that sin is identified and seen as sinful, and the shamefulness of being engaged in such sin. We've talked from a Christian World in Life, you, Tom, how there is the state, there is the church, and there is the family. And when individuals or families come with such allegations, then the process must be dealt with by the church. And as the church deals with it, there are two things to remember. The sin may also be, and in this case certainly is, a crime. And God has set up also the state. So where there has been such a crime, you need to turn it over to the civil magistrate, who then is responsible for the investigation and processing of such a claim, and if warranted, a prosecution, and then the penalties that come from crime. The church leadership must process it as a sin and deal with it appropriately as a sin. And then the perpetrator be addressed in terms of gospel repentance, which would include deeds appropriate to repentance against those whom you have sinned against. And then, Tom, we need to ask God to give us a heart that loves sinners but hates sin, and our churches become death traps against sins and redemption centers for sinners with the power of the gospel at work. And then teach Christian World Life View so that crimes are prosecuted by the civil magistrate and sin is addressed redemptively with repentance and deeds appropriate to godly repentance within the body of Christ, and then proper training of the congregation, of the leadership, and certainly of pastors, whereby you can identify this unbelievably sophisticated mechanisms of not only grooming victims for victimization of sexual abuse, but also the grooming of the gatekeepers to potential victims. And the church must be properly trained to deal with it preventively and responsively, according to God's word, whereby we do justice and love mercy both in the same time.
Just like the liberal Christianity before it, contemporary progressive Christianity is actually anti-Christian, claiming to rescue Christianity from cultural irrelevance while actually undermining and denying biblical truth through cultural accommodation. Harry Reader's 9-part series, Progressive Christianity in Biblical Perspective, will help you understand this dangerous threat to the Christian faith. To order your copy of this series, go to briarwood.org/progressive CD. Well, thanks for being with us this week. Have a wonderful weekend. Be sure and join God's people in the worship of our Heavenly Father on Sunday. Then stop by again on Monday for a conversation and a biblical worldview application as we put the issues of today in perspective.